And so I want to welcome you to Living Water Church. And we started a new series last week called Fake, Leaving Behind Christian Hypocrisy. And we focused last Sunday on the question of how salty are you? And if you were here, maybe you remember trying that bread that had no salt in it. And as I watched people try it, and you know, some people, you kind of shook your head like, not so bad. And other people, like your face just kind of scrunched into your, you know, as you thought, oh, yuck. And then can you remember after having wait like maybe forever trying the bread from communion and how much better that bread tasted with salt in it? The power of salt, that was Jesus was getting into, being salt. Salt enhances the flavors that are already there. And so that's what we're to be to the world. We're to be salt, we're to be light, we're to take this to the world that needs it. But you know, it's rather easy for me to say to a room full of Christians to be salt. But it's a completely different thing to actually be salt around people who would just rather you not be so salty. Who would rather you just not shine a light into a dark place. You know, John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, John talks about this where he says, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, talking about Jesus. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see what they are doing, that they are doing what God wants. So that is our challenge that we have, to be salt in a world that thinks that salt is bad for them. Be light to a world that prefers the darkness. So how do we become salt? How do we become light? Well, Jan read it for us, the passage from Romans, and I want to just kind of read the first two verses one more time just to kind of drive these verses home. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. He's begging us to grab a hold of this concept. I plead with you to give your bodies to God, to give your whole selves to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, a sacrifice that's been set apart for God's use. Kind he will find acceptable, which suggests any other kind might not be acceptable. And so this is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Conforming to the patterns of this world means that we make ourselves look like the world or think like the world or act like the world rather than clothing ourselves with Christ. When we're transformed to look like Christ, when we put on that clothing of Christ, we will look remarkably different from the world around us. And so this passage of Scripture is one of the most challenging passages, I believe, in the whole New Testament. Don't let the world's pattern affect how you live your life. And this is a tough assignment for us because we're surrounded by the world. You see it in the commercials. When you watch the morning news, you hear it from the ways the newscasters spin the news of the day. You hear it as you listen to the radio on the way to work and as you go throughout your day. You experience in the ways that your coworkers act and the way they talk. You see it in the movies and on the TV, even on the billboards as you drive around town. The pattern of this world is everywhere. And Romans challenges us not to let these patterns affect us. Don't say the things the world says, the way the world says things. I mean, don't use their adjectives. Don't, you know, get rid of the cussing and the dirty language, the profanity and taking God's name in vain. Don't give in to the gossip. Don't encourage it and don't share it. You know, don't give in to putting others down so you can make yourself look better. Don't give in to the negativity. Don't give in to the temptation to always have a negative story to share. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't embellish your stories by stretching the truth. Don't lie to make yourself look better. Don't be boastful or critical. Don't fall into the pattern of whining or complaining. Stop the excuse making. I mean, that's how the world talks. Be different. Be transformed with your words. Be salt and light. And don't, you know, so don't allow the things that the world say to change how you say things, but don't do things that the world does. Right? Don't look at things that'll cause you to lust. Don't take things that don't belong to you. Don't cheat on your taxes or how many hours you work in a work day or on your spouse. Don't live in the gray areas of what is legal. Don't fill up your time, your free time the way the world does. Don't neglect worship on Sunday by doing things that the world does on Sunday mornings. Don't use your tithe money to finance your next car purchase or vacation or even helping someone that needs help if it's not supposed to go in that direction. Be careful with your anger. Don't abuse alcohol and drugs, even adrenaline or sugar and other foods. Don't take revenge. So many things. Be different by what you do. Be transformed. Be salt and light. And so you don't say the things the world says. You don't do the things the world does. And you don't think the way the world does. Because see, truth is not relative. There is not your truth and my truth. There's only God's truth. And we will one day be judged by His truth. You know, the thoughts that you allow in your head each day, they matter. What you think about, the Bible calls that meditation, the meditations of our hearts, our thoughts that go through our head, the things that we think about. You know, what does the world think about? Well, how life would be better if they just had more money, had a different job, had a different house, had a different car, or had a different spouse, had a different family, had better friends. Instead, think about things that are true, things that are noble and right and pure, things that are admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Think differently than the world. Don't think the way the world thinks. Don't be arrogant or fearful, consumed with worry, guilt, bitterness, anger, or hate. Don't be bitter, jealous, or hateful. Avoid impatience and prejudice and self-righteousness or hypocrisy. Avoid envy and selfishness, ingratitude, or being disrespectful. Don't be hypersensitive, stubborn, irresponsible, or thoughtless. These are all the ways the world thinks. Be different. Be transformed. Be salt and light. And that's a long list. That's a lot of stuff to throw out there. And so I put all those words in your notes so you can kind of reflect on that. But as you think about the ways that the world thinks and the ways that we're tempted to be conformed to that pattern of talking, that pattern of doing and thinking, I want us to watch this video. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to your hearts as you watch this video. It's going to start out silent, so don't let that mess you up any. And then it's going to say 12 gates, that's what it is. And that's the name of the company that made it, that's not part of the video. So it's just an advertisement for the company that made it. But I want you to watch the images of the world and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about anything maybe that you are being transformed or being pushed into this pattern of the world. Let's watch this. There is a thin line between the world and Christians. And it's a challenging thing not to get pulled across that line in a lot of different areas of our life. The scriptures from that video, because they were kind of quick, are on your insert that's in your notes. But the world, its patterns, the world's patterns grieve God, because the world's patterns take people away from him. They put barriers between him and what his will is for them, his love for them, his grace, his forgiveness. And so how do you avoid being conformed to the patternless world? Well, you do it by living in holy sacrifice. You do it by picking up your cross, dying to yourself, taking those old clothes of who you were before you became a Christian, of the world, and you live for Christ. And that's the kind of life that God finds acceptable. This is the way that we truly worship God, by being transformed by the renewing of our mind, by changing the way we think. And so it's all about this battle that's going on in our mind. It's all about living out what you believe. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 19, speaking about living out what you believe, says if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so that we will be confident when we stand before God. I can't think of anything that I want more than being confident about the fact that when I reach eternity and I stand before God, that I can be confident in that relationship that I have with him. In this passage, we see that our beliefs, that they require actions. It's not enough just to have a strong faith, to believe the right things. You gotta have to live it out. Jesus taught that if we see needs, we need to meet them. Yet this passage showed that it was just too common for people to look the other way, to steer clear of people in need and speak of loving God well without loving the people that were near them. And it's this world's pattern to think of ourselves, to put ourselves in the center of our world, all right, rather than putting others there, rather than putting God in the center. And so our faith is authentic when we show love to others. Our faith is authentic when we do the things that cause us to be salt and light. To be salt for the world and light in a dark place. This is when we represent Christ to the world. Because see, when we believe one thing and then live a different way than what we believe, what we're being is we're being inauthentic. We're being what John Wesley called an almost Christian, where you look the part and you talk the talk and you do the things Christians are supposed to do as far as going to church and maybe being a part of the different ministries, but yet you lack the surrendered life. A person who has not yet surrendered their life to God but acts like a Christian is a person who admires Christ but doesn't yet know Christ personally and deep inside. It's a person who will one day hear the dreaded words when they arrive to eternity's door, "Away from me, I never knew you," because you knew about God, but you never had a relationship with God. An almost Christian is not a Christian at all. So to be transformed, to renew how we think, we need to begin to look at all of life. Everything we do, all the places we go, all the things we say, as sacred. If you look up the word spiritual in the Old Testament, you know, Genesis through Malachi, the Bible that Jesus used, the word spiritual is not found there anywhere. Not even one verse has that word. Why? Because in the Hebrew worldview, all of life, it all is spiritual. And even when you look at the New Testament, the word spiritual is only used by Paul. And when he uses it, he means spiritual as being animated by the Holy Spirit. So every facet of life should be spiritual. It should be animated and led by the Holy Spirit. And so if you would have asked Jesus about his spiritual life, he would have looked at you like you were talking nonsense. You know, my guess is he would ask, what do you mean by my spiritual life? All of my life is spiritual. Jesus didn't buy into this sacred, secular, split type thinking. To him, life is this seamless, integrated, holistic experience where the sacred is just all around us. And so when a person who claims the name Christian buys into this idea that you can separate your spiritual world, your church beliefs, and your secular normal life and kind of have them be two separate things, that person starts to see their spiritual life simply as a bus ticket to get to heaven. And because of this, their spiritual lives only have a minimal effect on their regular life. And they've lost this vision of how work is a primary means which God designed to bring thriving into his creation by where we work and we take God with us. And so they have missed the opportunity to be salt and light in the public square and help positively shape that culture that's around them. They're the type of people, when you go to their funeral, people say they had a great faith, but those outside the church had no idea they even went to church. A person who chooses to separate their spiritual world from their normal world is the very definition of what we mean when we say the word fake. How does the world know that we are truly Christians? How do they know when we move beyond hypocrisy? Well, they know that by our love. How do the people know that you're a Christian? Well, they know when you help a friend with a tough school assignment. How you help a neighbor who's got an overgrown lawn. How you help a friend who's just going through a terrible circumstance in their life. How you help a family who's fostering a child during a busy week. How you help a widow who's got a broken appliance. How you help a coworker who's just dealing with a very heavy burden. They'll know as you share your God story of how God helped you through a painful circumstance, letting them know that God wants to do the same thing for them if they would just but let him. They will know by your love, by how you live out what you believe, how you let the spiritual beliefs determine your actions in all the places you find yourself throughout the day. But your faith in Jesus Christ, that faith that he died on a cross, that he rose from the dead, he now sits at the right hand of the Father as your advocate right now. It's your faith in Jesus that saves you for eternal life in heaven. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to be saved. God does it all. It's a free gift from God. But it is what you do with your faith that proves that faith to be genuine. As James put it, faith without works is completely dead. A Christian life that refuses to be transformed by the renewing of your mind is a person who has not yet surrendered their life to Christ, is a person who's not yet actually a Christian. So how are you doing with living your faith 24/7? That's the challenge. Have you begun to merge your faith life with the rest of your life? Have you begun the journey of becoming that living sacrifice where you put to death what you want and you give everything to Jesus to be giving living life from the perspective of what God wants? And what you do is as you begin to do these things, you discover what God wants is so much better than what you were trying to do with your life. And not just in your faith life, but what God wants in everything you say, everything you do, and everything you think. Because see, God doesn't want just a piece of you. He wants all of you so that he can live through you and he can empower you to live this Christian life. And so as you think about these words that I'm saying, if in your heart you're thinking, I can't live that kind of life that you're talking about, Pastor Todd. I can't control the words that come out of my mouth. I can't change what I think about through the day. I can't control my actions. I try, and for a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, it goes okay, but then it just kind of all goes off the rails. I just can't do it. And so you know what? That is step one of renewing your mind is realizing that you cannot do in your strength what God is calling you to do. All we can do is surrender. All I can do is give my life to Jesus. You know, there's very little that we can do in our own strength. I mean, have you ever tried to start a new habit or break an old habit? It is really hard to do. There's very little that we in our own strength can change about ourselves, but with God, all things are possible. God can take a person's heart that just hardened by all the choices they've been making and the consequences of the choices, and in a prayed, God can change that person to a completely new creation, this way one day, this way the next. The power of Jesus' blood to change a person's life. And so that first step is to realize that I can't in my own strength live out this Christian life, but God has this amazing way, if we'll let him, of changing us little by little into the likeness of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit as he lives through us. And so for the first step is to realize I can't do it. All I can do is surrender to God daily, every morning. And then number two, you begin taking off that old nature, those old clothes, that old way you were before you were a Christian, and you each day take on those new clothes of Christ. You do it every day as you stay connected to God's vine through the reading of his word, the Bible, God's words to you, and talking to God throughout the day, just in prayer, having that conversation. Where at some point in the day you have this intense time with God where you're just focused on him and you're talking to him and you're sharing your needs and he's talking back to you, and then just the rest of the day you're staying connected to him. And so you first realize you can't do this. It's too big. It's too hard. And so you surrender to God and you let God begin doing this through you each day. And then the third step is allow the Holy Spirit then to renew your mind. Allow God to change the way you think by being in the living word, the Bible. It will change how you think, and this is a lifelong process. As you find places in the Bible that tells you to do things you're not doing, well, you begin to do those things through the power of the Holy Spirit, not in your own strength. As you see things in the Bible that says you're not supposed to do certain things, then you stop doing those things, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you slip, when you give in to temptation, when you go back to an old habit or an old pattern or an old attitude, then you confess it quickly and you commit to doing it next time God's way and God's strength. And he continues this renewing process, transforming the way we think. You know, and if as you're kind of thinking about, you know, these are habits I know I need to do, but I'm not doing them right now, this daily routine, you know, just simply start by reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, start with Jesus' story. Read it every day, one or two chapters. You know, the best way, if you need to start this habit of being in God's Word that I've found, is the Bible app. It's a free app you can put on your phone, on your computer. And they have all kinds of plans that are reading plans. Search for one that talks about the Gospels and go through a reading plan. It will remind you each day. It'll tell you how many days you miss and get you. It just is a great way to get that habit going. It'll help keep you on track. If you're not a good reader and you just like to listen to it while you're driving or as you're getting ready for the day, the Bible app, it'll read it to you. It's a great tool for developing the habit of being in God's Word every day. And so we're in God's Word each day, and then we talk to God each day. We thank him for the blessings we have. We ask God to forgive us of our shortcomings. We pray for the needs that are in our life and those around him. We just talk to God every day. And if you have a difficult time starting this habit, there's another app that you can download. It's called the Pray app. Now, this one's not free. It costs about $8 a month, but it is a great way to help you get in the habit. It sends you reminders. Go to that next slide. It'll show you what that looks like. And so this just has all these different things you can listen to on it. It's just a great way if you struggle and you need reminders through the day to stay connected to God. If you do these things, God will renew your mind. God will empower you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. Because you got to understand that Christian life is not about trying harder. That's what we do. We hear a sermon like this and think, you know, I really got to try a lot harder in these areas. I got to be more careful what I'm thinking about. I need to try harder. And the more you say that, you got to realize there's a lot of I in those statements. I can't try harder. It is about training. Train your mind. Train your heart and protect your heart from the world. Train like you're getting ready to run a marathon and win, because that's what we're doing. We're training for the marathon of life, and the prize is eternal life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 give us this encouragement where it says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." I am certain that God will complete it if we allow him, if we stay connected. He does the work. He does it little by little as he changes us. If you'll stay surrendered, if you take out that cross every day, being a living sacrifice every day, you will see everything then as life is spiritual under God's guidance, and he'll do it in you. From the inside out, he just changes us little by little. So the praise band is going to come up at this time. And we're going to sing a song that we sang last week, God of Revival. You know, revival, it's all about God reawakening in us our need for surrender. Because there's just something about life that gets us to forget that we need to be surrendered to him. That's what we're praying for as we sing this song. That the obstacle too big, that God can't defeat it in your life if you'll let him. There's no prison walls that he can't break through. There's no chains of sin that he can't demolish. There's no mountains that might be in front of you that he can't move. There's no person that's too far from God, from the gospel of Jesus, that God cannot save. The darkest of night that you might be going through, he can light it up. So we pray as we sing this song, God, come awaken us, awaken this city, come awaken this community, pour out a revival, break the strongholds, break the chains. God has done it before and he can do it again, even in your kids' lives and your grandkids, even in your coworkers and your neighbors, even in you. God, pour it out, pour it out. And as we're singing this song, if you'd like to grab a hold of this, if the Holy Spirit has just been stirring something inside of you that says, it's this, you need to get this taken care of, you need to do something about this, then I encourage you to come up to these chairs, this altar. I know that you can pray in your seats. I know that God can change a person from where you are, but there is something powerful about taking a stand and having the strength to come forward and deal with it at the altar. I encourage you, if God is leading you, that you would come and you would pray, God of Revival. Let's stand as we sing this song.